You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
With the 21st pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
It's time for the Packers War Room Podcast.
Made me a believer into really thinking that the Packers really could run the table, and that was when I said right away, they're winning the NFC North.
The bomb to Jordy Nelson was just a moment that I'll never forget. For him to be able to get behind the corner and really just catch the prayer, essentially, was just quintessential Packers 2016.
Like I said, for this team to win two playoff games was just astounding with how beat up they were and the state of their defense, really.
And now, alongside Jacob Westendorf and Cody Bauer, here's your host of the Packers War Room Podcast, Ross Uglum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Packers War Room Offseason Podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum. I am a writer at Cheesehead TV and PackersTalk.com. I want to start off the show by, of course, apologizing. We just haven't had a great deal of synchronization throughout the three of our schedules, so it's been a few weeks without a show here, but we are back and hopefully better than ever. We're going to start off by reintroducing our longtime co-host, Jacob Westendorf. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be back talking draft. It's amazing. We are 1 week away from the big dance. It seems like we just started talking quarterbacks yesterday. Now here we are at just about the conclusion of this show.
It's wild. It is absolutely wild. And also 1 day away from the schedule release. That's it's a big one for us out-of-towners. It really is. When you have to schedule your entire weekend situation around, what you're – your entire travel, I guess, to Green Bay, it's exciting when that thing comes out. There's no doubt about that. Also joining us, Cheesehead TV draft expert Cody Bauer. Cody, how's it going this Wednesday evening?
Going great, guys. I'm excited to be back talking draft. Have some fun doing a little podcast tonight. Should be fun for you guys at home listening to kind of see some of our feel on some players and where we think they could potentially land. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously outside of the schedule release, if you're listening to this, I'm not sure what the turnaround time will be on this show, but if you're listening to this right away, I believe that is for 7 o'clock Lambeau time, Thursday the, oh goodness, what would it be, tomorrow the 20th, I do believe. Tune in. If that's something that interests you, when the Packers will be playing whom and when they'll be playing. Other than that, not much to report. We already talked about rookie Jean-Francois. The Packers have not made any other significant roster changes at this time. I think as far as any veterans are concerned, they are probably waiting out what they get as far as a haul drafted players. And as far as their haul in the sense of undrafted guys as well, where they foresee or do not foresee holes in their roster. So at this time, I would be very, very shocked if anybody joins the Packers in the next 6 days here. I think the soonest it'll probably come is the Monday after the draft. That would be my guess there. So what we're going to do in this show is we're going to do a one-round mock draft. If the first round goes like an absolute blur, we might delve into the second round, but that would be about as long as we're going to go. We're just going to keep a little bit of attention on the clock here, and I have randomly selected the order. Cody will pick first, I will go second, and then Jacob will go third, and we're going to go at least through the first round here, guys. Cody, you are first on the clock with the Browns of Cleveland. Who are you taking?
I think this is a pretty big no-brainer. You have to go Myles Garrett, edge rusher from Texas A&M. You're talking about an absolute, freak athlete. very productive in the SEC. He's been really anointed for, you know, 2 years, kind of got the Jadeveon Clowney kind of respect later on in his senior year, and didn't quite have the production that he did the year before. But, you know, he is everything that you want in a pass rusher. He's massive. He's strong. He can bull rush you. You know, we'll definitely need to develop more of a repertoire of pass rush moves, but he's got incredibly good hands, can threaten the edge. If you leave him unblocked, he can crash down the line of scrimmage and make plays on the running back running away from him. Just an absolute disruptor in every sense of the word. I think he is, you know, a cornerstone franchise pass rusher that, you know, is the hallmark of some really good teams. So I think if you're the Browns, you know, you may flirt with a quarterback. You hear some rumors about Leonard Fournette, which is just crazy. But I think you grab your generational pass rushing talent and, you know, hang back at 12 or maybe make a trade up. We're not going to do mock trades in this mock draft. But, you know, if you really want to go get your guy, you have the ammo on the back end to trade up and make a play for one. But I think at one, you know, you have to go and get your pass rusher and Myles Garrett, who just doesn't come around very often.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly seems to be the it really seems to be the consensus there. I've got the second pick here with the San Francisco 49ers, and I just have a hard time taking Jonathan Allen, because who is the number two overall player on my board. I just, the way that they're going to run their new defense, there's only room on the field for one three tech, one upfield pass rusher, and they've already got DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead as guys that they're going to use one tech, three tech. I mean, giving them another what would be a 4-3 defensive tackle would just, I think, be a bad scheme fit. I think it might end up still happening. My selection here, I think, is really between Jamal Adams, safety out of LSU, Malik Hooker, safety out of Ohio State, just because what he could potentially do for that defense, and then Solomon Thomas, the defensive end from the Stanford Cardinal. And I think I'm going to go with Solomon Thomas. I will take Solomon Thomas. He'll play edge, I think, maybe kick inside on passing down to rush up the field. I really believe that Jonathan Allen is too much money and too much draft capital dumped into the defensive tackle position for that crew. I thought about Malik Hooker just because I really think Malik Hooker is on that Earl Thomas plane of just like an elite center fielder, and you can sort of play cover one or cover three without having to worry about the deep middle of the field. Jamal Adams is certainly more scheme versatile. I think most people would have him as the higher rated player, but just for what they could do with him, he was a close second. But I'm gonna go with Solomon Thomas. He's gonna start at left defensive end in the base and kick inside and rush the passer. Jacob is next. He's got the Chicago Bears on the clock.
I do, and I've gone round for round with this since the offseason began, because I said, as soon as the offseason started for the Bears, that their plan at three overall should be to identify who they believe the best quarterback is and select him. That was before they signed Mike Glennon, although that deal pretty much works out to be a one-year contract. He's 27 years old. I imagine with their selection of him, they are looking to some degree at least to hope he's the quarterback of the future. They believe in him a hell of a lot more than I do, if that is the case. Mike Glennon was once benched in favor of Josh McCown when he was in Tampa Bay. So with that in mind, the quarterback I would have identified as that is DeShone Kizer. I talked about that on, I believe, our first show. But I don't see that as an option here if I am Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace has talked about several times that you should take a quarterback every year, and Ryan Pace has followed that up by never drafting a quarterback since he's been the general manager. Unfortunately, because of the money spent at that position, it's probably a little too rich, especially at this pick, to select someone like Kizer at third overall. So because of that, I look at the defense, and Ross, you mentioned some names. Malik Hooker is one. The Bears safety position, has been brutal ever since Mike Brown. Chris Harris was an average player, and it's really just been one really bad player after another. Obviously, Jamal Adams comes into this discussion as well. But the other rule of thumb in general that I have, if I were a general manager, is if I have a top five pick, we talked about it on the first show that we ever did, is this league is about passing the ball, rushing the passer, protecting that passer, and defending the other team's wide receivers. And because of that, I am taking the Bears' cornerback situation is not great. They just released Tracy Porter, who was their number one cornerback last season. That's not saying much. But they don't. Kyle Fuller has been injured, and when he's been on the field, he really hasn't been very good. So because of that, I am actually going to take Marshon Lattimore, Malik Hooker's teammate out of Ohio State. He's got some injury issues, but when he is on the field, he's the best cornerback potentially in this class, him and Sidney Jones, but Sidney Jones obviously is not healthy. So I have Lattimore as my pick for the Chicago Bears to try and stop guys like Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers.
Right on. And what I want to clarify for the listeners here is we discussed this in the pre-production meeting. We are making our picks. These are not predictive necessarily. This is what we would do if we were the general managers. So if you, Cody Bauer, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are you taking fourth overall with Garrett Thomas and Lattimore off the board?
I'm going to go, this is going to be a little bit of a surprise because it doesn't happen very often, but O.J. Howard, tight end from Alabama. Our tight end show a few weeks back, I know all three of us just absolutely gush over Howard as a prospect. He is this high on my big board. The Jaguars don't really have a weapon right now at tight end with, they brought in Mikel Rivera, who's just kind of an average guy from Oakland. I think with O.J. Howard, not only does he help, obviously, the pass game and Blake Bortles, I think they're going to give him another year here. And he's shown flashes of good, so, I don't blame them for wanting to hang on to and see if he can, develop some consistency. So you might as well give him some weapons and help him succeed. And not only does Howard help the pass game as far as receiving big plays, stretching the defense down the middle, but he's also a great run blocker, as we talked about. He has no problem getting down on a defensive end and pushing him out of the way. So I think O.J. Howard probably would be a bit of a surprise pick. The consensus is, everyone loves Leonard Fournette, and maybe a quarterback has started to flirt with that, as I mentioned. But I think as far as matchup, team-wise, as far as a good landing spot, and the value of the player, I think O.J. Howard would be a really good fit for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, you're in a position there where you're really talking about an elite player, I think, just because we've all discussed it. O.J. Howard, I mean, he's as complete as you can possibly get as far as just a tight end prospect is concerned. So that's, in my opinion, I think that's a great selection. Very out of the box, like you mentioned, but it's something I would certainly consider. No question about that. I've got the fifth pick. I've got the Tennessee Titans. Very obviously not looking QB here. Could potentially take the first wide receiver off the board. I don't think I'm going to go that direction. We're going to address that secondary because we've got issues in it, and I think now is the time to take Jamal Adams off the board. I think he is a legitimate defense-shifting safety. I think even though he's not going to play that center field that I love so much, like a Malik Hooker, he's still enough of a impact guy where he's really going to change what you're able to do defensively. I understand that they're probably also looking for cornerback help, but I just, I released that Packers top 200, and Adams was super high up on that board. I think he's probably one of the best two or three prospects in this class. I have him at fourth on the Packers board just because safety is not a tremendous need. But we'll go Jamal Adams from LSU at at number five there, which of course will leave Jacob picking for the New York Fighting Jets. Jacob, are we pulling the first quarterback off the board, or are we going a different direction?
If this were like the actual draft, I'm on the phone with the Cleveland Browns because I know that's a rumored trade, and I buy that rumor. I know this week is when you got to start taking everything with a grain of salt. However, I look at my quarterback depth chart right now, and I see Ryan Fitzpatrick's not there anymore. I see Christian Hackenberg, who they replaced the previous general manager to hire Jake Westendorf, and I don't know why they picked Christian Hackenberg. Geno Smith, I don't believe is here anymore. There's just not a lot to believe in as far as this quarterback spot goes. So, yeah, I mean, Malik Hooker, that'd be a great pick here. There's some players in the front seven on the defense that would be good to address here as well. But as I've mentioned, and I think anybody's mentioned before, you know, I'm looking at the final four of last year's NFL championship weekend. And I see Aaron Rodgers, and I see Tom Brady, and I see Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger. And if there's something else, I just look in my own division, and I see Tom Brady, and that is the biggest advantage that the Patriots always have over us. Now, are we ever going to have the advantage with the Patriots if Tom Brady's the quarterback? Probably not. But we have to at least figure something out. So, yeah, if I am the general manager of the New York Jets here, the first quarterback off the board is going to be DeShone Kizer out of Notre Dame. I've said this before. I don't think that's going to be very popular with a lot of people, but I think he's the best quarterback in this draft class. I know a lot of people seem to favor Trubisky. I know DeShone Watson is getting a lot of move up the draft board because of the way that he played against Alabama, but I think Kizer has the most potential, the highest ceiling of any of these quarterback prospects in the Jets. I think it's time for us to be bold and grab somebody that can help finally catapult us over the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that just positionally, Tom Brady, QB, AFC East, is the biggest divisional advantage in football. I think, you know, I believe Aaron Rodgers is a better player. Some may view that as a hot take. I don't really care. But the drop-off from Aaron Rodgers to, you know, the Bradford Cutler Stafford is different than the drop-off of Tom Brady to the Geno Smith and the Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Tannehill. And to be honest with you, as far as the Bills and Dolphins are concerned, Tannehill and Taylor actually represent kind of the best of times at QB. It's been worse, and it's been worse recently. So I get what you're saying in trying to close the gap, at least, you know, just a little bit there. So DeShone Kizer, if that's your QB1 and you're the New York Jets, you're looking to make that deal, I've got no problem with it at all. Cody, you are on the board, number 7 overall, the Los Angeles Chargers.
I think this fell pretty beautifully for the Chargers, actually. You know, they have their pick at all three wide receivers. They still have Malik Hooker on the board. Jonathan Allen is dropping. Granted, I think their defensive line is pretty sure. But, you know, this fell really nicely. And I think they're going to go ahead and select Malik Hooker, safety, Ohio State. I think, you know, you guys talked about him enough already and mentioning with some and could go previously. You know, he's just an instinctive, you know, rangy center fielder who can make plays on either sideline, roams the middle really, really well, can understand, you know, route concepts and read quarterback's eyes, but, you know, he does lack a little bit in physicality. He's an ankle biter as a tackler, as they say. But there have been guys who have been successful doing that and guys who actually get better. His ability to go get the ball and create turnovers for the defense is special. And I think the Chargers, you know, having not really replaced Eric Weddle last year, really need that the back end security, the guy who can flip the field and you know, be a playmaker. So they go Malik Hooker, and pick number 8, Carolina Panthers are on the board.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think you talk about you know, Jonathan Allen dropping kind of like a rock here, because now you're in a situation where you've got a team with Star Latulele and Kawan Short. Kawan Short just became one of the highest paid defensive tackles in all of football. So myself now, being on the board, picking for the Carolina Panthers, I'm not going to mess with Jonathan Allen, even though he's the number two overall player on my board. And I mean, that's not an exaggeration. That's literally what the deal is. But I'm going to do what we did in the pre-draft or the pre-production meeting. And I'm going to take Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford, because I think with Jonathan Stewart, you still have that number one back, if you will. And I hate that lead runner trash. I don't like any of that really way of describing running backs. But what you have is just a different style, certainly, from McCaffrey. And he can bring all sorts of things to that offense that they don't have currently. And I think, you know, using him in the slot, I really think he'd be one of the best two or three receivers on the roster day one. I think he'd be the best running back on the roster day one, and obviously would help their return game. I am sending Christian McCaffrey to the Carolina Panthers, number eight overall. The maybe not the biggest early surprise here, but I just think difficult to take Jonathan Allen. Let's get Christian McCaffrey off the board right here so I don't have to worry about him later.
Let me jump in and say that thinking ahead is Jacob Westendorf, planning ahead is Ted Thompson. I've just exhaled, so I don't even have to think about it. I'm on the clock as the Cincinnati Bengals here, and you've mentioned it. We've been talking about it. He's dropping like a rock. Geno Atkins and Jonathan Allen. You guys want to talk about a way to dethrone Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady? The easiest way to do that is hit those guys and make my mom laugh, because the easiest way to do that is to hit Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger, for that matter. You want to do that? It's pressure up the middle. Geno Atkins, still a good player when he's healthy. Jonathan Allen, I know he's got the arthritic shoulders. Ross, as you said, he's the number two player on your board. I don't have a 200-player board. Kudos to you for that. That was a fantastic read. I loved it. I will reference it on draft night next week. I don't have one of those. But if I did, Jonathan Allen would be number two on mine as well, right behind Myles Garrett. And if the 49ers probably can't take him, but if the Chicago Bears took him at three overall, I wouldn't bat an eye. Because I'd be afraid for Aaron Rodgers. But I wouldn't be bad an eye from the Bears standpoint there, because that's just a good way of doing business there. But Jonathan Allen is on the board here. It makes sense. The Bengals are trying to find a way to win that first playoff game. And the way to do that, I think, aside from probably get a little bit better play out of their offense, maybe have a healthy quarterback when they have a good enough team like they did a couple years ago and not fumble the frickin' football. But I got Jonathan Allen, and I'm pairing him with Geno Atkins, and let's hit Ben Roethlisberger, and if we get a chance against Tom Brady, let's hit him too, and Derek Carr, and some of these other fantastic younger passers that are up and coming in the AFC.
Yeah, it's an interesting fit there. I mean, they've got Pat Sims at nose. They took Andrew Billings last year at nose. That was a guy that a lot of people were in love with that dropped like just a rock. But good fit, and I think a guy that can sort of study under Geno Atkins, be in a rotation with Geno Atkins, and then very quickly, I believe, become a star. I like that fit there. Cody, you are on the board with the Buffalo Bills at 10 overall.
Decisions. This is tricky. Many right now think that the Bills are, you know, going to select a quarterback. Rumors are they love Trubisky. I could see Watson being somewhat of a fit there. I personally like Tyrod Taylor. So since we're doing this mock, as if we were the GM, I'm going to sit tight on a quarterback. I know I need help wide receiver opposite Sammy Watkins. Robert Woods left in free agency, and he was just average anyway. So, you know, that certainly piques my interest with all three of those guys still on the board. But for me, I want to replace Stephon Gilmore. And to do that, I'm going to take the second-best corner, you know, because of Sidney Jones' injury. But Gerrion Conley from Ohio State, just another great Ohio State DB. Urban Meyer's got a production, you know, just a factory line of them right now. you know, he can play press man. He's really good at flipping his hips and running with receivers. Very fast, ran in 4.4s. A big guy of 6 foot, 200+. He's just, you know, the prototypical everything you want in a corner. You know, he's given up a play here or there, but overall, I think you know, you see him. He might be further along than Lattimore at this point. I think he's a little bit more fluid, but maybe not as explosive as Lattimore as an athlete. But I think for the Bills, I think you got to replace Gilmore, you know, who went to the Patriots this offseason. And to do that, you know, grabbing Conley at the 10th spot, I think makes a lot of sense, which is, I think, right where Eli Apple, his teammate, went last year to the Giants. So I think that fits his draft slot right now. So Bills selected Jerrion Conley.
Yeah, it's an impressive factory that Urban's got going on there as far as defensive backs are concerned. You're going to have three, I would say, guaranteed to go to the first round. People talk about Conley falling to Green Bay. I think that might be a bit of a pipe dream, but he wouldn't get any further past 29, I can tell you that. Hooker's definitely going in the top 12. I think Lattimore's definitely going in the top 12. So really impressive in that defensive backfield from Urban there. I've got a perfect fit and a perfect player here. I really, really like Reuben Foster. And I know that the Saints spent some draft capital to select Stephon Anthony, but it just hasn't worked out. You guys can say whatever you want, and so can the listeners about Pro Football Focus, but they are extremely down on Anthony, and I don't disagree. He's been pretty awful since coming into the league. I don't think he's a major answer at off-the-ball linebacker, and Foster just is. I mean, he is one of the better off-the-ball linebacker prospects that I can see in recent memory. I think for me, he's higher up than C.J. Mosley was coming out of school, higher up than even a Ryan Shazier was, definitely higher than like a Darren Lee last year. I just think he's such a complete player. I think he has the chance to be like a Navarro Bowman or a Patrick Willis, that level of off-the-ball linebacker. So I'm going to send Reuben Foster to shore up the middle of that New Orleans defense so that we can give Drew Brees a chance at one last ride in the sun over the next 3 years here. But they've really got some roster filling to do before, even with him at QB, they can be incredibly competitive. So that moves us to the next selection, and this is the Cleveland Browns selection because of the Carson Wentz trade.
That's correct. The Cleveland Browns are on the clock, and with the way this fell, I am thrilled if I'm the general manager, because I know my head coach, Hugh Jackson, loves Mitchell Trubisky, and I know that I got my star pass rusher and the best player in the draft at one overall in Myles Garrett. It actually while referencing a bad movie, it kind of plays out like the movie Draft Day, where the general manager gets his player with Mac, and the head coach is going to get his player with the running back in that movie, which I can't remember his name. But it's kind of going to work out that way here, because my coach wants a quarterback here, and Trubisky is on my board. Him and Watson have a similar grade to me, and my head coach's opinion is going to be my tiebreaker here. My starting quarterback going into next year right now is Cody Kessler. That doesn't really excite me a whole lot. I think that the Browns, I think we have potential to finally do some things. I guess Brock Osweiler's here as well, if you really want to be excited about that. But we have a chance to kind of dip into the deeper than I think gets credit for receiving core in the second and third rounds here, with some of the picks that we've picked up here from the Houston Texans and some of the other trades that we've made. But my coach wants Mitchell Trubisky. I don't want to make him angry. I want to give him something to work with. So I'm taking Mitchell Trubisky here at 12 overall.
Yeah, I think it's I think you're exactly right. I think that when they don't see Trubisky go where Kaiser went, they're pretty excited because, you know, then you've got Rivers, then you've got Cam, then you've got Dalton, then you've got Tyrod, then you've got Breeze. Unless somebody jumps them, and nobody's jumping anybody in this mock, they're going to get QB2 at number 12 in this scenario. And so I think they really let out a big exhale. I think it's going to be Mitchell Trubisky. I think you are to be honest, absolutely right. I think that's definitely going to be the situation. So I love that pick for the Browns. We're going to move on to number 13 with the Arizona Cardinals. This actually could be a QB because Carson Palmer, he old.
Yet again, I love that the receivers are dropping. It gives me options, but you're absolutely right. I mean, let's just say he's washed. I mean, go back to 2 years ago at the end of the year when he hurt his hand or had a thumb injury. He just kind of lost it from there, and he never really got it back last year. I think it's time. There's nobody better to probably learn from than Carson Palmer. You see his brother Jordan all the time training young guys on, you know, entering the combine and stuff. They know football. They are damn good at it, and Carson Palmer had his time in, you know, more probably like a blip on the radar in the NFL. But it's come and gone. I think, you know, you bring in Mahomes, you kind of have him learn under Carson, and when he's ready, he just takes over. I think it would be a dream scenario for Pat Mahomes to get put in that position, quarterback from Texas Tech. And I would love to see how Arians would operate with somebody like Mahomes. As exciting as he is, I think that would be must-see football. So for me, I think the Cardinals, you know, pull the trigger and get their guy of the future, and then their future might be sooner than rather than later, honestly.
All right. So, yeah, the receivers are going to keep falling because I've got the Philadelphia Eagles here. My guy, Carson Wentz, just got brand new toys. Just got Alshon Jeffrey. Just got a nine-route guy in Torrey Smith. Still has two pretty darn good tight ends in Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. And Jordan Matthews is one of the better big slots in all of football. So right now I'm going to leave tight end alone. I'm going to leave wide receiver alone. I'm going to leave running back alone, though I'm seriously considering Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook in this spot. But I just can't bring myself not to take Tre'Davious White, and that's what I'm going to do. White, for me, is the second-best cornerback in this class. I think that he has the ability to play inside. I think he has the ability to play outside. And so I'm just taking a cornerback that no matter what is going to be one of my best three wherever I line him up, left corner, right corner, nickel. I don't care. Tre'Davious White, 14 to the Eagles. That's how I'm feeling. 15th, Andy Luck, the Indianapolis Colts, and their new general manager. What's going on?
There's a whole lot here. I am in a position right now that I never would have expected to be in. The only edge rusher that is off the board is Myles Garrett. I have all the receivers at my disposal. I have both offensive tackles if I so choose that. But I know that my best receiver is a 5'11 slot player, and I know I went after Alshon Jeffrey this offseason for a reason. There's a lot of needs on that defense. I know that, but it's a deep pass rush group, and I can't resist the fact of thinking that I can pair Mike Williams with Andrew Luck and actually give him what I consider a true number one wide receiver. I know I've got Dante Moncrief. I consider him more of a number two. Mike Williams is right there, and he's the number one wide receiver on the board for me. And I think that if you give Andrew Luck a big target like that, along with T.Y. Hilton's ability to play inside out and in the slot, and then you've got Dante Moncrief able to do those things, and Mike Williams' ability, I think there's a lot of potential for some special stuff to go on there. I can find an edge rusher. A little bit later on, we spent some money at that position in the offseason. But I do know also in the NFL, we're going to score some points. And we're going to score some points with Mike Williams catching the ball from my franchise quarterback. Maybe he can throw some contested passes that somebody can actually go get, as opposed to having to rely on a small receiver that can be beaten by press coverage. So I like Mike Williams here out of Clemson.
All righty, 16th pick.
That's a shocker for me, Jacob. That, I think you've got to address that defense at some point, and the capital they've put in at wide receiver just seems like that'd be a shocker. But new GM, you never really know. You could be onto something there. The Ravens at 16, man, some of the top pass rushers are still out there. The wide receivers, I do have a deep threat already, so John Ross probably isn't quite as alluring as Corey Davis. And I love Corey Davis, but I think you almost have to give Bernard Perryman another shot. I think for them, I'm going to go Derek Barnett, edge rusher, Tennessee. And for whatever reason, he just kind of feels like a Raven to me. I think, you know, you put him in a rotation early on with his get off, I think he could really make an impact as a pass rusher for them. I think, you know, Ozzie's going to find, you know, value in what's arguably one of the best pass rushers in the SEC, which includes Myles Garrett for the last two or three seasons. At 16, I think he pulls the trigger and bolsters his defense with another pass rusher. So Derek Barnett would be my pick at 16. Next up, 17 and Washington.
I'm confused. Did you just take Derek Barnett for the Ravens?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you were arguing with Jacob. I understand now. I've got it. I'm good. The Washington R-words. Pretty good offense. Potentially lost, you know, part of that, losing their offensive coordinator to the head coaching ranks. Pretty uncertain times right now, just as far as Kirk Cousins is really concerned. I think, you know, you kind of have to go defense at this point. And so I'm going to break my own heart, and I'm going to take Hassan Reddick, and I'm going to add him to that Washington defense, and I'm going to move him all around it. And he's going to make plays all over the field and I think really transform that defense in a positive way. I've gotten to the point now in the draft process where Hassan Reddick is legitimately my number one option. I mean, I think more than any other player in this draft, because he's realistic, and a lot of things would have to go the Packers' way, but because there is even the inkling of a thought that he could be a Green Bay Packer, he's my number one guy. But like I said, I'm going to break my own heart, and I'm going to add Hassan Reddick to that Washington R-words defense, and we're going to go from there. We've got the Tennessee Titans back on the clock at number 18 overall.
That's interesting. Hassan Reddick and Sua Cravens, the revolutionizing of the inside linebacker position. All in one right now with the way that defense would work if it works out in this way. So, Ross, you're talking about breaking your heart by taking Hassan Reddick. I'm going to break everybody's heart because I have Marcus Mariota. I have Derrick Henry, who I like as a running back. I have DeMarco Murray, who I like as a running back. I have Delanie Walker, who's a pretty good tight end. I have Rishard Matthews, who's a good number two wide receiver. But I need a number one. I wanted Mike Williams, but I took Jamal Adams at number five because I thought he was a better fit for what we needed there. And Indianapolis took him a couple picks ahead of me here. I'm taking Corey Davis at number 18 out of Western Michigan. I think that he steps in and fits in very well with Marcus Mariota, gives him that weapon that we've got a really good quarterback. I really believe in what this kid can do. Had he not gotten hurt last year, I'm very confident that we would have been in the playoffs. And maybe we give New England a better game than the Texans did. I don't know. I am at least confident that Mariota wouldn't have crapped his pants on national television like Brock Osweiler did. I at least feel pretty confident there. But at least this way, I've added some weapons around my starting quarterback. And I can do that starting with Corey Davis, who I think is a better option here than some of the cornerbacks or an edge rusher who ultimately at this stage is still a backup with Derek Morgan and Ryan Arakpo, even though Arakpo is getting a little bit older. I think Corey Davis is the best available option at the moment. So Sorry, fellas, he will not be available when we are on the clock for the Packers at 29 overall.
Fair enough. Next, we've got Tampa Bay, 19th overall. Big bounce back season for Jameis Winston and the Bucs last year. What are we doing at number 19?
Boy, you sure hear a lot of love and a lot of connection between Florida State's Dalvin Cook running back and Tampa Bay. Jameis is, you know, obviously clamoring for it. And, you know, there seems to be some smoke there. Again, silly season, I understand. But the fit does make some sense. Doug Martin, I don't think they're exactly happy with his performance. He's kind of a bit inconsistent. The muscle hamster after signing is a big deal. So I could see them lean running back. Fournette is still out there, too, if they really were thinking about that. But I think for me, you go and address the defensive side of the ball to help stop Drew Brees and Cam Newton and such. I think you go Buda Baker, safety from Washington. To me, I think he's just a one tiny tier below the other two guys, Hooker and Adams, as far as playmaking ability goes. You know, he's undersized, which is why he's not in the top 10 like those other guys. But you watch him play in the field, he's an absolute blur, can lay the wood, sniffs out plays behind the line of scrimmage. He's really a do-it-all Bob Sanders, Troy Polamalu type. I'm not going to compare him to them. That's unfair to him. But that's kind of how he plays, reckless abandon. But he seems to, you know, play with a bit of control as well. He's just insanely fast, quick, and I think adding a playmaker like that to the back end of Tampa would help shore up that defense quite a bit.
That puts me on the clock with the Denver Broncos, and the question here is, how much do I believe in the quarterbacks that we have on the roster? Is Trevor Siemian the guy that I want to go forward with? Is Paxton Lynch the guy that I want to go forward with? And ultimately, I think I'm going to tie myself to Paxton Lynch at least for a year, because I'm John Elway and I'm still the same guy who drafted him, I guess. I know we're not supposed to be predictive, but I am trying to fill his shoes a little bit. Oddly enough, I believe I'm going to take the first offensive lineman off the board, and I'm going to select Ryan Ramczyk, the Wisconsin Badgers. I'm going to plug him in at right tackle. That doesn't work out. I'm going to slide him in, and he's probably going to be an all-pro guard. So I'm going to go ahead and select Ryan Ramczyk of Wisconsin, 20th overall to the Denver Broncos.
That'll put me on the clock in Detroit. Bounce back season for us last year. Finished one run the table short of a division title in the NFC North, and a playoff loss to the Seattle Seahawks. The Lions, we shored some things up in the offseason, added TJ Lang, among some other things along the offensive line. We changed some things there. Ziggy Ansah is a budding star over there. Decent-sized guy, but I'm going to look not too far away to add a secondary pass rusher here, and that's going to be Taco Charlton. Looking to add some size to that defensive line, somebody that can set the edge on the other side as a strong side defender and become a pretty good pass rusher. He can learn from Ziggy some of the repertoire of pass rush moves. We clearly like him. We've had him in for a couple interviews, and we've been linked to him several times. If he fell to us, I firmly believe that that is the player the Lions would. Again, we're not supposed to be predictive, but that seems to be the scenario. If Taco Charlton were to fall this far, that seems to be the guy the Lions would select. It's been a long time since they've taken a player that early out of Michigan, but it seems like if there were a guy, that would be the guy here. So I'm taking Taco Charlton.
All right, Cody, you're on the clock, number 22, with the Dolphins of Miami.
Boy, I got a lot of different options here, and I'm not sure that I love really any of them, to be honest. They have some holes to fill, particularly along the defensive line. They could also look to upgrade their linebackers. Their offensive line and weapons actually aren't as awful as many people think, but I think just on a pure talent aspect, I think you have to go Malik McDowell. I think Zuerlein had him there recently. I think you eventually find a team that thinks that they can, have a mature enough room. And I think with Cameron Wake and Sue, I think you're going to see that, you know, he could be molded and taken under the wing and turn into really a force. And what he provides is not only interior pass rushing, but, you know, he plays the run particularly really well. He can lock out his arms and play two gaps if need be. But I think he can also rush the passer some as an edge and get upfield from the inside. So major question marks with him off the field. Not a lot of people at Michigan State speak highly of him. There's some maturity, particularly some character stuff where he didn't really want to play in some games later on and just kind of dogged it, which is obviously doesn't sit well. So, you know, a lot of people are calling for him to drop, but he's really the ultimate boom or bust prospect. And I think, you know, again, if you get him in a good, mature defensive line room with some good coaching, he could turn into something really special.
Yeah, don't disagree there. Now I'm on the clock. The New York Giants selecting 23rd overall. And I had a pretty good defense last year. The linebacker issues that we've had for years didn't seem to be as big of a deal last season. The defensive line, somehow Jason Pierre-Paul is still able to be incredibly effective despite, you know, his hand accident issues. Olivier Vernon, a heck of a player. We just ran into a buzzsaw in Green Bay, but now we're going to buzzsaw back because we added Brandon Marshall to Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard, which means that our base sets are pretty outstanding in 11 personnel, except for one spot, and that's tight end. So we're going to add Dave Njoku from Miami and basically be uncoverable and try to outscore teams, even though we've got a pretty outstanding defense. But right now, this is the end of Eli's window. We're not sure if we've got anything behind Eli in the quarterback room, but we're going to try and win another title while he's still here, and we're going to do that by having four outstanding options in the passing game. We're taking David Njoku, 23rd overall, which puts Oakland on the clock at 24.
Yeah, I'm real excited about our team here. We've had a really good year last year. I think we could have made a run at New England and had Derek Carr not broken his leg. Offense is really good. Amari Cooper is a star in the making. Michael Crabtree resurrected his career out here. We got Jared Cook in with Clive Walford as a two tight end set. I'm excited about that. I'm considering the Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette area here, but I also know that I'm pretty sure we're going to have Marshawn Lynch in town here in a couple days, so I'm not going to go there. Our defense is terrible. It's one of the worst in football, and I know that right now. So I'm going to go with Kevin King, the cornerback out of Washington. He added some size to our back end to guard some of those bigger receivers and get after some of these guys in the passing game. You can play press man coverage. We want to be aggressive on defense in Jack Del Rio scheme. So this is a guy that kind of a late riser, but he's an intriguing player, and he doesn't have to go very far to get here. So that'll be interesting as a guy to bring in. So at 24 overall, I like Kevin King here for the Oakland Raiders.
That brings up Houston at 25, and the running backs are likely to continue to fall because Lamar Miller makes a lot of money to run the ball for Houston.
Yeah, the running backs, I didn't even consider them really. I'm surprised Oakland didn't take one there. Boy, I have an interesting option for me, though. Do I like Deshaun Watson enough to take him at 25? Man, his quarterback a glaring hole at the position right now. I still have the number one ranked defense with arguably one of the best defensive players ever in the league coming back. So, obviously, on that side of the ball, I'm sitting well. I could really use some protection for Tom Savage and or whoever else they throw out there. And Forrest Lamp is looking really good, but, man, I mean, I can sell with Bill O'Brien on this all day, all night, and find out if Watson is the guy we want. And in this mock, I'm going to say yes, that Deshaun Watson is going to be the pick. I need somebody for the future, for the fan base. We can't just go stagnant, you know, with the number one defense and not win some more football games, particularly in the playoffs. Watson, you know, thrived in the big stage. He was prone to turn it over. That's something he's going to have to work on. But, you know, no one stepped up in crunch time and ran really one of the best, you know, programs in the whole country, and largely due to him, honestly. So I think he becomes the next face of the Houston Texans, and they move on and get their quarterback.
All right, one of the most obvious needs, I think, in this entire draft is the need that I'm currently dealing with now with the Seattle Seahawks, and that is offensive line. For ages now, we've been obsessed with athletic tackles, moving them all over. John Schneider, I believe, gets that from Ted Thompson, but we kind of take it to another level here. I'm torn between the athletic Garrett Bolas of Utah, as opposed to just taking who I know is the best lineman left, and that's Forrest Lamp. Could even take a shot at Cam Robinson. But I'm going to go with the truer tackle. I'm going to go with Garrett Bolas of Utah, and we're going to plug him in on the offensive line and try and do a better job of protecting Russell Wilson. That brings up 27th overall pick and the Kansas City Chiefs. This could potentially be a spot for running back.
Yeah, and that's what I'm wrestling with right now is Jamal Charles isn't here anymore. Andy Reid likes his running backs. I know our defense could use some rebuilding. There's some options here for that. If there's defensive coordinator, defensive group that could be creative for someone like Jabril Peppers, this is a spot for a guy like that. I think he could thrive in a place like Kansas City. But I look back and think Andy Reid and his offenses, well, they were really at their best when they had Terrell Owens, but they were really good when they had guys like Deuce Staley and Ryan Westbrook, players like that. And I just can't ignore the fact that Leonard Fournette is still sitting right here. And this is a guy who is talked about at least, granted, rumor mills are rumor mills, but this is a guy talked about that could be going as high as 2 overall. Leonard Fournette is right there. I think he fits very well with Andy Reid's style and what they want to do. I think he can be an apt pass catcher. I know he wasn't asked to do that a lot at LSU. I think that's more of a product of LSU's really crappy offense and their scheme under Les Miles. I can't ignore that. He's sitting right there. I got to take Leonard Fournette. I can't even ignore it any longer. So I've got Fournette for the Chiefs.
Fair enough, leaving Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon, of course, as the two potential round one running backs. I think Mixon, with even just the rumblings of this high school assault thing, is probably, I think, kiss that goodbye, but that's a personal opinion, of course. And that brings us to the 28th pick, the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, well, I think, Ross ripped his own heart out. Corey Davis lovers got their heart ripped out. I think it's time I rip out the rest of Packer Nation's heart out. The Dallas Cowboys, you have tons of cornerbacks still out there. It's a deep class. Everybody knows it. You have a couple of edge rushers out there that are very intriguing, but none so more intriguing than Mr. T.J. Watt, outside linebacker / defense end from Wisconsin. I think he has arguably the most potential of any pass rusher outside of Garrett, which is scary for Garrett. But, you know, Jerry Jones sees what kind of star J.J. is down in Texas and what he's doing for Houston. I think Jerry would, love to have a guy like T.J. with his, you know, potential that isn't even surface skimmed yet as far as what he can do. I think you put him down an end. You can also ask him to stand up and play some linebacker if you needed it. But, you know, as far as where he could potentially be in 3-4 years, it's really scary. And I think Dallas wants to take that kind of risk and bring a Watt down to Texas and really shore up their defensive line.
I got to tell you, I'd be surprised by that just because of the way that Rod has always used true defensive linemen and really leaves his linebackers alone. Most of the pressure that Rod's going to bring is going to be actually off the nickel. Those D linemen that he uses really truly are defensive ends. I don't see them taking a linebacker that spent as much time in coverage as TJ did, but yeah, I mean, it's a tough pick. I get it. I
understand. I think it could happen, Ross. I don't think you can, you know, just dismiss it completely, though. You know, at 6'5", he could still fill out his frame. What is he, 250 now? I mean, he could add 10, 15 and kind of be one of those more traditional down D linemen. And he still has the potential. I mean, as an athlete, he's just, you know, a special one. So, I agree. It may not make so much sense right away to, you know, it's not a 3-4, which he had experience in. It'd be a transition for him. But I don't know if it could be, you know, just easily dismissed. It's got to be out.
And I understand that, and I get the pick, and I'm not, I guess I wouldn't say that I'm easily dismissing it either. I just, it's not even a hybrid 4-3. Rod is so set in his ways that it would just surprise me. But you, in this scenario, are the general manager. I am not. I am now the general manager, number 29, and this, of course, is a Packers podcast. I'll be taking the Green Bay Packers selection here. We will also hear from Jacob and Cody on this one. And Cody just made this easy for me. I've still got all sorts of guys on the board at corner. I've still got Fabian Moreau. I've still got Marlon Humphrey. I've still got Sidney Jones. I've still got Quincy Wilson. I've still got Tankersley and Adoree Jackson and all sorts of guys I love. And at least one of those guys is going to be around at number 61. And if it's not, I'll jump up and do the old Jason Spriggs thing and snag a guy. I am going to take on my Packers top 200 at number 29. I'm going to take my number 8 guy. I'm going to take Tack McKinley. We're going to go back out to the Pac-12. We're going to reunite him with Kenny Clark. And he is going to immediately be one of the best 3-4 outside linebackers in the league against the run. And then we're going to have the Packers defensive staff teach him a little bit of craft elevate that pass rush in year 2, elevate that pass rush in year 3, and I really think going to end up with one of the best, I think, 10 players in this draft with Takaris McKinley if he is the selection there at number 29, and we are going to snag a Sidney Jones or a Quincy Wilson in round 2. I believe that's something that's going to happen. Jacob, you go ahead and make your Packers pick, and then Cody, you can make yours, and then we'll go right back into number 30 with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, to me, this comes down to two guys that are injured. Sidney Jones, the cornerback out of Washington, who would be my number one corner had he not suffered the Achilles injury at his pro day. And the guy you just picked, Ross, that is Tack McKinley out of UCLA. Had Cody not just picked T.J. Watt for the Dallas Cowboys, this would have been the easiest pick. I would have said T.J. Watt, next, move on. But that is not the case. In this scenario, with the way the board falls, I have to go, at least in my opinion, with the guy that I believe has the less serious injury. And at a position that I believe is a little bit bigger of a need. And I also think that, you know, you mentioned the whole move up Jason Spriggs thing. I've mentioned it before. The possibility of moving up to grab Sidney Jones. And I think even if Jones misses most or all of his rookie season, you have Devon House, you have Demarius Randall and Quentin Rollins, and Ladarius Gunter as your fourth guy. You know, Sidney Jones can kind of take his time to rehab his injury if he comes back. And I make it sound like I'm pitching that as my first-round pick. But I am also taking Tack McKinley. I think if he comes back early enough for camp. Ross, you mentioned it. He has no time for anybody's running game. If you move, for example, if the Packers were to run their 2-4-5 that they usually run and have Tack McKinley and Nick Perry as your edge rushers with Clay Matthews and Jake Ryan as your middle guys with that sort of look and Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark as your linemen, I think that's a really good run-defending unit with some potential to have a really good pass rushing rep out of it as well. So I, too, am taking Tack McKinley. Like you said, teach him his pass rushing craft and get after the passer. He'll immediately make contribution as a run defender, which will matter at some point this season. You're going to have to play the Dallas Cowboys, so that will matter there at some point. And by the end of the year, maybe he makes a couple impact plays as a pass rusher. You said it. Maybe he's one of those 8 to 10 best players in the draft. I'm a little bummed that I can't take T.J. Watt because he's one of my favorite players in this draft. Again, not a Wisconsin fan, not a Wisconsin guy. I don't even really like the Badgers all that much. But that's my guy. It's Tack McKinley. And then, yeah, I'm going to try and find a way to do the Jason Spriggs thing for Sidney Jones there in the second round.
Cody?
Boy, 2 Tack McKinleys, huh? I like all of our options here. I think in a realistic world, I'd probably be hoping for a trade back. I can see myself tweeting at you guys at this situation. Be like, trade back, trade back. Just a lot of corners out there yet. And maybe the Packers have their eyes on one particular guy that's still out there. McKinley's a good option. There's going to be some fans for Charles Harris out of Missouri. There's going to be your Dalvin Cook fans. There's going to be your Forrest Lamp fans. We all like those players. All three of us love Cook and Lamp, but at 29, you know, that's just not really what we find to be good positional value as far as draft capital goes. I'm going to go, man, much like you guys, I'm crushed that Watt's gone. Man, Tyus Bowser's out there. Derek Rivers is out there. Tack. I think right now I'm going to go corner, Marlon Humphrey, Alabama. Again, Saban's got a good pedigree of putting out great athletes at the position. Now, some of them don't always work out well, but, Humphrey is very aware in zone. I think he's an incredible athlete, great speed, low 4.4s at 6 foot, over 200. You know, so he's got the prototypical size. Now, he does get burnt quite a bit over the top, more than you'd like to see, but you think with better technique work, he could potentially, clean up some of that. And he'd instantly increase our team speed on defense, and he's in a phenomenal hitter, a great tackler around the line of scrimmage, sniffs out wide receiver screens. Somebody mentioned, I think it was Pro Football Focus, that his best position could ultimately end up being safety, and I see why he would say that as far as his tackling skills and playing better more when the play is in front of him, but Burnett's going to end up his contract's going to be running out, so if it doesn't work for whatever reason, that corner, I think he gives you that other option. And Packer fans like to replace Micah Hyde, I think Humphrey could even be your guy in that kind of role too. So a ton of options. One of them we even mentioned was Jabril Preppers. He's got his fans. But for me, I'm going to go Humphrey and hope one of those edge rushers can kind of drop to the second round.
Yeah, I actually wasn't even the other guy I was looking at 29, which I thought about, was John Ross. I mean, that was my other. If I wasn't taking McKinley, I was taking John Ross, which is not even one of the guys that you mentioned. But I'm pretty high on him after watching a little bit more film. He's not just a 4.22 guy.
That's kind of crazy, though, Ross. I mean, how many guys did we just list them? You know, there's tons of guys out there right now.
Yeah, right. So trade down to 35.
If you know, it takes two to make the trade, but I think Thompson would definitely have his phone available, hoping to get back and maybe pick up an extra fourth or something.
Right.
Can we start hyping up Davis Webb during this show then?
Yeah.
Davis Webb is awesome.
All right.
He's great. Somebody trade up for him.
30th overall, I just went, technically, although we all spoke. So that would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, number 30.
Ross, I have you down as the Steelers.
No, I was the Packers at 29. It should be whoever took Leonard Fournette at 27.
Okay, well, it's listed as you, but that's okay. Okay, so since I am the Pittsburgh Steelers, I will happily take this selection then. I am looking around, and Ben Roethlisberger is talking about retiring, but unfortunately, all good quarterbacks are gone. That's where now I look to my defense, and I look at another guy who is talking about retiring. And, I guess he's not talking about retiring, but he finds ways every year to find the fountain of youth, and that's James Harrison. Unfortunately, he's a guy who can't play forever, and I have to find a way to replace him. One consideration that I could have here is Jabril Peppers. I don't want to compare him to Troy Polamalu, but playing him close to the line of scrimmage in that sort of role could be intriguing here. But I'm going to go with the pass rusher, and I'm going to go with Derek Rivers here. I like him more in this scenario. than some of the guys like Charles Harris, Tyus Bowser, some of those guys. So I'm going with Derek Rivers to learn under James Harrison and then take over when Harrison ultimately decides to move on from the NFL.
Whew, I did not know we were getting that hot with the FCS guys, but Derek Rivers, number 30 overall to the Steelers. I like the fit, no question about it. 31, Atlanta Falcons, the team that put the Packers' dreams of the actual running of the table to rest in the NFC Championship game. This will be Cody Bauer.
Boy, John Ross still lingering. But this is a no-brainer for me as an Atlanta Falcons GM. My biggest glaring hole on my roster is at guard. The best one for Slamp is out there, unless I miss something. I think they sprint up to the podium and lock up Lamp. Played left tackle at Western Kentucky. Was shut down out there. Stuffed Alabama when they played them. Was absolute rock. PFF grades him extremely high. He goes to the Senior Bowl, ends up kicking inside and having some really good reps in there before he got hurt. But I think everyone thinks that his best position's on the inside. A little shorter arms than you'd like out of a tackle, but you know, if Ted Thompson to take this guy, you know, we'd be bummed at the positional value, but certainly not at the player. This guy's a real deal. I think Atlanta would be ecstatic to have him drop to them, and they'd run to the podium and lock him up. But, again, some different options for them would be, you know, Evan Engram is, you know, exciting to kind of pair up with Julio Jones. That'd be just even more frightening for that offense, or John Ross, another speedster type, but I think they get their guard and keep up with their really underrated, extremely good running game as well.
And I'm actually going to take John Ross. 32 overall, New Orleans Saints. We're going to replace Brandon Cooks with John Ross like nothing ever happened. And just kick the can down the street, get a younger version of the guy that we all already had. Perhaps a slightly more skilled, definitely faster version of Brandon Cooks. Get younger and get further away from contract negotiations. Provide Drew Brees with a weapon after we hopefully transform the defense by getting the best inside linebacker prospect in years. Guys, I don't think at an hour and 6 minutes here on the show, we're going to dive into the second round. Thank you guys for participating in this. Thank you guys out there in podcast land for listening to it. You can check out my work at Cheesehead TV and PackersTalk.com. Jacob, where can they find you?
They can find me at FanRag. I've got a story coming out this week on how Hassan Reddick can fit in as a chess piece in the Packers defense. So that'll be interesting.
Awesome. Cody?
I'm at Cheesehead TV as well. I've just dropped a 3-round mock draft. You know, good exercise for any of you trying to familiarize yourself with some more prospects and kind of where guys are going to fall and checking on team needs. It's a good exercise for that. And that just dropped this evening. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, feel free to poke your head over there and give it a read.
And without question, guys, pick up the Cheesehead TV draft guide. It's available at cheeseheadtv.com. I'll put it up with any newsstand draft guide as far as the quality of people contributing to it, the actual editorial value of the work. Very cool PDF with some interactive stuff, especially on the highly ranked guys. We're going to have some draft breakdown videos embedded in that PDF. It's just absolutely worth the money if you're going to be able to have an iPad or a laptop in front of you while you're watching the draft. Something I could not possibly recommend any more highly. One last time, thank y'all for listening. And go Pack.